Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Wilsonville, Oregon. Today is Thursday, January 10th, 2019, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting of A Vision for You. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We're in the Doctor's Opinion on page XXVIII, 4th edition, with the third paragraph, which begins, "If any feel that as psychiatrists," and we will be reading that single paragraph today and studying that by taking that one apart today. Today's readers are Ellen D. for the 12 Steps, Reggie O. for the 12 Traditions, and reading the text today in support, Gina R., Leslie W., and Donna W. The share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. meeting is 12401, 12,401, and that would be for Wednesday, January 9th, 2019. And the share ID number for this morning's 7 a.m. meeting that just happened is 12405, 12,405. That would be for Thursday, January 10th, 2019. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Ellen D. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Ellen.
Hi. Thank you, Ellen D. in Texas, recovered for today. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service.
Thank you, Ellen D. I will now ask Reggie O. to read the 12 traditions.
Thank you, Melanie, for your service and everybody here this morning. This is Reggie O. in the greater Los Angeles area, and these are the 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop compulsive overeating. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Grateful to be able to be of service this morning.
Thank you, Reggio. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 again, and that will remute the phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Please mute by pressing star 1. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are in the place, the doctor's opinion, on page XXBIII. That would be in the fourth edition. We're looking at one paragraph today, paragraph 3, and that begins with, if any feel that as psychiatrist, and I will ask Gina R. to read that paragraph and then unpack it for us this morning as our first reader. Good morning, Gina.
Good morning, Mel, and thank you for your service and welcome to everybody on the line. This is Gina R., gratefully recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body, and I am a compulsive eater living in Green Valley, Arizona. If any feel that a psychiatrist directing a hospital for alcoholics, we appear somewhat sentimental, let them stand with us a while on the firing line. See the tragedies, the despairing wives, the little children. Let the solving of these problems become a part of their daily work and even of their sleeping moments. And the most cynical will not wonder that we have accepted and encouraged this movement. We feel, after many years of experience, that we have found nothing which has contributed more to the rehabilitation of these men than the altruistic movement now growing up among them. Well, the thing that really strikes me in this paragraph is actually what is not in the paragraph. There's nothing in there about what they know or what their education tells them or what their head knowledge is or their hubris. Many of us many times see aspects of the medical profession as having hubris, which means excessive pride or self-confidence. And what I see happening here is they are turning that, or they have allowed it to be turned. I think they were subject to the spiritual experience that was going on with these first founders of the program. And they went from head to heart, and they exhibited humility, humbleness, an honoring of faith in a way that they probably never had before. And I'm sure they came under a lot of circumspection for that. And those who know the history better than I do can certainly speak to that. But that's what this what this recovered person today sees there. And so when I apply that to my own life and I say, okay, if I'm going to set aside what I think I know, and these doctors are setting aside what they think that they know, and they're seeing something happen that they couldn't affect on their own with their own efforts and their own knowledge, then what might actually be able to happen to and for me? Well, what happened to and for me is I feel like waking up. I'm excited to wake up these days. I don't go to bed dreading what the next day is going to bring and thinking about where I can get food in the form of certain substances to tamp down my emotions and numb me out from wanting to just show up for daily life. Rather, today I've been able to put those substances down, open myself up to this experience, lay aside my own hubris, realize there's so much I don't know, and every day that I get further into this, I realize how much more I don't know, and my acceptance of how much I don't know increases, and I don't have to worry about making you wrong so that I feel okay about myself. I can let everybody be who they need to be, and it's just fine. The other thing that's important for me to understand here is whatever was going on with that first group, it was contagious. So just as we are dealing with a disease of our mind and our thinking, we need to understand that this spiritual solution is contagious, and it is up to us to go out and spread this thing to others. And with that, I'm very glad to have been able to share, and I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Gina R. The lines will be open now for those that want to comment on paragraph 3, if any feel that as psychiatrists, page XXVIII in the doctor's opinion.
Ginger C.
Hi, Ginger.
Lisa J.R.
Kathy C.
Jackie H.
Did I say Lisa J.R. and Jackie? Okay.
Yes.
Dawn B.
Don B. One more if there's one. Okay, we're going to go with that lineup.
Beatrice
Ginger C.
O.
Okay,
Beatrice O.
Gotcha. Ginger C, Kathy C, Lisa J.R., Jackie H., Don B., and Beatrice O. Good morning again, Ginger.
Hi, Mel. Good morning. Thanks so much for your service. This is Ginger C., recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. And why is this doctor not only accepting, but encouraging what's going on? Because for the first time, this man is breathing a sigh of relief. He has just watched more alcoholics destroy and destruct and never see any resolution, never see this rehabilitation, this rebuilding of men. Like he is now because of one alcoholic talking to another, such a simple program. So yes, of course, he's excited and enthusiastic. Finally, lives are being put back together, and these men are being of service in a way to help that next person that's behind them in the quicksand. And it's unbelievable, this altruistic, this unselfish movement out of me and into you. God, who would you have me be today, and what would you have me do? You know, and this is a daily reprieve because this ego just wants me back thinking about me 24/7 no matter what. And it works in silent and sneaky ways. And a week ago today, and I've shared this, you know, my dog died. And the pain of this death is unbelievable because I'm so raw and real. I don't have any effects except from this power that I lean into because I finally got off the Titanic and I stopped using outside sources for my love and comfort and ease. But I don't stop. We're boots on the ground. We are the ones doing God's work. And the only thing that's going to save me today is by working with another and pressing in and pressing on. But more importantly than anything is staying close and connected because God is everything. And despite this broken heart, I know I have the strength and courage as long as I remember that peace with this higher power. So thank God, this we program. And yes, when that phone rings, do your best to pick it up because you have no idea. You may be saving a life by doing so. And it's not a convenient program. It's very inconvenient. There's a lot of times where my family is waiting for me to get off the phone. But again, I take it seriously because my life depends on it, and I follow it precisely exactly. I want what those first 100 got, and I cannot afford to go back to any of my addictions. And I've got plenty out there that are still waiting, and it's actually this mind of mine that's just going to lie to me and try to convince me, oh, the pain's too much. You can't continue. It's too hard. I got an answer for you. I'll give you some ease and comfort. Go eat that chocolate cake or that donut. And thank God for every beautiful bite, because one less bite, I may never have conceded to my innermost self. And I know that that is the last thing on the radar for me today. So thank God again for this WE program. And thank you, all of you, for your love, your support. I had a lady, I don't even know her, only through this phone. And she recited this piano music for me to help my heart. And then she recorded it and put it on my phone. This is the gift of love and connection that I have searched my whole life. And I'm so grateful to finally have come home. And thank you.
Thank you, Ginger C. It's Kathy G. that's up. And then Lisa J.R., you'll follow Kathy.
Thanks, Melanie. Good morning, everyone. It's Kathy G., recovered compulsive overeater in Illinois. And thanks, Gina and Ginger, for getting us started today. I got inspired when I heard Gina talking that, you know, there's so much that I really don't know. One thing I do know is that nothing has contributed more to my rehabilitation than this altruistic movement that is growing up around us, especially for me in this precious Vision for You line. It's just completely changed my life, getting to know you and having this book read line by line and working these steps the way that they are written in this book. God, I'm so grateful. I am getting on this morning, and it's linked to this paragraph because I received an email from a friend of mine who's in ministry, and she got an email from someone from Nairobi. This couple has a 12-year-old daughter who is just suffering enormously with an eating disorder, and my friend was asking me for help if I had any suggestions about treatment centers. They want to bring the daughter to the U.S., and I'm thinking about this line, and I'm thinking about nothing is going to help her but the contents of this book. But when you're 12, it's such a difficult thing to grasp. It took me so long to get this. And so I wanted to reach out because I couldn't get on the earlier meeting. And I just wanted to, it's Kathy G, Kathy with a C, and it's G in Illinois. I'm on the member list. If anybody has any suggestions of treatment centers with 12 steps, and could give me a call, I would so appreciate it, because I'm with Ginger. We have to get out there and help wherever we can. And I need help. I need to know if anybody has more experience than I do that I could share with this person. Are there any young people meetings, 12-step treatment centers, you know, that focus on young people that could help them? And if I need to start something myself, maybe that's what I need to do. But I just wanted to see if I could help, and I'd so appreciate any calls. So God bless all of you today, and I'll pass.
Hello.
Thank you, Kathy G. Lisa J.R., you're up, and then Jackie H. will follow you. Thank you. You're next.
For phone calls about
Lisa J.R., you're next.
Okay, thanks. Thank you for your help on the line, Mel, and thank you everyone for joining me on the Broad Highway this morning. Lisa J.R. from Baltimore, Maryland. I adore this character sketch of Dr. Silkworth, and I think it applies to so many people in the healthcare profession that really are on the firing lines, dealing with people, seeing thousands of us succumb to this disease and having to be investing their emotions in these folks. you know, just so grateful for that. So I look kindly on these nurses and doctors that work with us. You know, but that altruistic movement, that jumps out at me because it's so the antithesis of what Bill Wilson was when I think of him. The first miracle that I think of, other than Ebby, of course, was Bill lying in the bed, and suddenly the thought crossed his mind, no, not to have a drink, as in so many cases. Suddenly the thought crossed his mind, who can I help? Surely thousands of people will want to know this, you know? And suddenly he goes from being selfish and self-centered to being other-centered. And that's amazing to me. And not only him, but others. There were hundreds of others and now thousands of others. You know, but I was very critical of Bill when I first started reading his story. But now I realize he was just, you know, I'm like Bill. I have the disease of more, better, latest and greatest, you know. I can't have enough. I can't get enough. And my mind, my ears are tickled with the latest this or that and, you know, the latest gurus. You know, I have to realize that all this is about God's hands, as Ginger said, boots on the ground. You know, we are the hands and feet of God here, of higher power. We're the ones that can help. And I just love what I'm hearing in this meeting today, and I'm going to jump off so I can hear more of it. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Lisa J.R. Jackie H., you're up. Don B. will follow you.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you for your service. Jackie H., recovered in Colorado. Good morning, everybody. Wow. There's two things that just really touch me in this paragraph. The first thing, every time I read this paragraph and read, let them stand with us while on the firing line, see the tragedies, the despairing wives, the little children. Let the solving of these problems become a part of their daily work. I always get really choked up because not only my own addiction and the many ways that it's manifested, and then other family members. And there's somewhere else in the book that it says that the addict is like a tornado that just sweeps through the lives of everybody and rips them apart. And I have seen that. I've been a part of it. I've seen it in my family. And it is despairing, to say the least. Many times very, very hopeless, actually. And especially for the little ones, right? Who don't have any understanding of any of this. But thank you, God, there is this program. And then so the second part of it about the altruistic movement. Oh my goodness, in my disease, in my ego, I am like a selfish person. I want more, more, more. Give me more, give me more. I want to be comfortable. I want to be at ease and comfort, and I will do anything to get that. But having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, I actually have had a psychic change. And when I am in fit spiritual condition, which I have to wake up every day and make sure that that occurs and do the footwork for that, I actually don't even know myself. I don't even know who I am. It's like I'm this giving person, this, and actually sometimes a channel, like things come out of my mouth that I think, oh my God, where did that come from? Well, it did come from God, right? And so I will forever be grateful for this program. I get very, very choked up when I think about what a gem it is and what a divine plan for living that this is. And I am thrilled, beyond thrilled, to be able to pass this on to other people who are suffering. There's a lot of people suffering around us, and we don't have to. That's the beauty of this. We don't have to suffer anymore. So with that, I think I'll be quiet and listen as well. Love you all. Have a great day.
Thank you, Jackie H. Don B., you're up. Beatrice O. will follow you.
Thank you, Melanie. This is Don B., recovered in Orange County, California. This is one of the first times that I'm sharing on the line here. I usually just listen to the meeting, but wanted to jump in and try to be of service and just be a part of the group. I've been in OA for many, many years. First meeting I attended was the late 70s. And more recently, when I heard about vision, I was listening to Harlan G. at a workshop. And it was the strangest thing. Tears were rolling down my face while I was listening to his workshop. I could not stop crying. And I realized that this was something new I was hearing, and he was talking about vision and, you know, how he feels like it's the renaissance in OA. And I had relapsed for just countless years in OA, and more recently I'd put down the food, but I was still missing what I know now is like three quarters of the program is the emotional, the spiritual and emotional healing that can also take place. And I believe that's in this paragraph, the psychiatrist is just in awe of what a power greater than ourselves can do by getting in touch with that power greater than ourselves and just seeing that, what miracles it can bring in people's lives. And I think of all the people still in the rooms of OA and desperate for miracles in their lives, and just how this program is bringing people in touch with their higher power and how life-transforming that can be. And just myself now, after finding out about vision and going through the steps again, getting a vision sponsor, how transforming the power much greater than myself has been in my life. I'm no longer that person sitting in the corner with tears streaming down my face, not knowing why I'm even crying. And just going through the steps in the big book way, coming in touch with my higher power, and now with this transformed life and this new way of living, you know, I'm no longer, fear is no longer in charge of my life. It's like a new paradigm. My fear and myself is no longer the center running, trying to run the show. My higher power is running the show, and I'm asking my higher power every day, how can I serve you? What can I do for my fellows? And laying down my character defects and seeing my part. And it's such an amazing way to live. And now I can hear that voice of that still small voice inside myself, my higher power speaking to me. Don't be afraid. I'm right there. I'll tell you. I'll give you what you need to do. I'll show you the way. Anyway, I'm just so grateful for this program and its transformation, and I am in awe. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Don B. We are studying In the Doctor's Opinion today in the fourth edition. It's on page XXVII, the paragraph we're unpacking. It's the third paragraph and starts with any field that as psychiatrists, and we're sharing on that today. I'll be taking some more names after Beatrice O. has her 3-minute share. Good morning, Beatrice.
Good morning. This is Beatrice O. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Okay, great. So the part that says, you know, if any feel that as psychiatrists directing a hospital for alcoholics, we appear somewhat sentimental. You know, what this paragraph is saying to me is, come walk in my shoes. See God at work. Because here's a group of people who've recreated their lives, you know, and the admission is free. Free, free, free to all. These miracles are free. And this altruistic movement, this unselfish self-sacrificing action that they're doing is showing people how God is at work. And I think that, you know, when you're communicating and trying to share the message, you can only, I think there's another part of this book that says, you know, it takes one to know one, and only another alcoholic can reach another alcoholic. And so, anyway, so that's what I get out of the paragraph. And one person mentioned, I just want to piggyback on what another person said about Bill's story. And when Bill was recovering, he said, if there was a devil, he seemed to be the boss of the universe, and he certainly had me. But my friend sat before me, and he made the point-blank declaration that God had done for him what he could not do for himself. His human will had failed, and doctors had pronounced him incurable. And I think that these psychiatrists asking people to come stand and see the tragedies and the despairing wives and the little children is an invitation to see God at work. And it's free. And I, for myself, I needed to hear those stories. I needed to see the transformed lives in order for me to recreate mine. And the fact that nobody was asking me for money was a big attraction. You mean I don't have to pay for this? It's free. Anyway, so thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Beatrice. Oh, the lines are now open for folks to comment on paragraph 3, page XXVIII.
Patty T.
Patty
Donna,
T. Donna
John
B.
K.
Reggie O.
Did I hear Donna B. and John K. and Reggie?
Yes.
Bruce E.
Bruce E. Let's go with that. Sounds good. So I have Patty is a T. Donna B. John K. Reggie O. and Bruce E. Good morning, Patty.
Hi, everybody. This is Patty T. from Southern California, recovered today by the grace of God. And wow, the shares on this paragraph have just been amazing to me. I'm struck, you know what? I'm struck by how many times the word we is used in this paragraph as well. You know, because, you know, as an addict, I know that I affect other people. I see it, you know. I watch them experience that there's another we on the other side of my addiction. You know, I'm not one among, I'm not just one among many. There are many on the other side of that. And these doctors, you know, are scientists. You know, they work with science. They, you know, and they had a spiritual experience. Just like I had a spiritual experience when I walked into my first OA meeting and I saw all the joy and acceptance of the people in that meeting, no matter what their size, no matter where they were in their recovery, you know. And certainly by working the steps in the way that Vision leads me and guides me to do it has even broadened my vision of that. You know, again, when I walk in the meetings, I see the recovery and where, and, you know, and it is indisputable to me. And I begin to see it in myself as well. And, you know, when he says here, the most cynical will not wonder that we've accepted and encouraged this movement. You know, we live in a very cynical world. And the fact that I can walk through my life, completely during days where there is no fear, no self-loathing, not being led by my character defects, but rather by the grace of God and hope and belief and faith that there is a power greater than myself that will direct my thinking and actions. That helps the people that I engage with to have faith, whether they call it that or not. It doesn't matter. This paragraph talks to me about how we can do this in all of our affairs, you know, and that's all I've got. Thank you for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you, Donna B. John K., you're up. Reggio will follow you.
Did you say Donna B. or John K.?
Oh, okay. I thought I was
John
the one
K.
after that.
Oh, wait a minute. Did I make a mistake?
I thought you
did make a mistake.
Okay,
I did.
I'll shut
That's
up.
About four or five today. Perhaps I should give up my post. Donna B., you are. My apologies, and then John will come after you.
Thank you. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling in from Denver, Colorado. Thank you for your service. The psychiatrists were sort of watching what was unfolding before them. And I think what this paragraph says is that as they were watching the unfolding of recovery happening before their eyes, their cynicism dropped away and their medical training, the big book uses the word prejudice a lot, which is a word that really resonates for me as I practice my prayer and meditation. But their prejudice fell away. They couldn't deny what they were seeing with their own eyes. And when I talk about my recovery at a face-to-face meeting, for example, like last night, people were commenting one after the other how much hope they had, how much of their own cynicism, how much of their own training and prejudice was falling away. And they acknowledged how much they really want the type of recovery that the book talks about, and more importantly, what the people in the room with recovery were talking about. In Bill's story, when Abby first arrived to Bill's home, Bill asks him, so the door opened and he stood there, fresh skinned and glowing. There was something about his eyes. He was inexplicably different. What had happened? And that question, what had happened, I think is one of the most important questions that this book encourages us to ask of each other. What had happened? Like, what happened? And by sharing our stories with one another, we continue to answer that question, what has happened? And as I mentioned in my morning prayer, I constantly have to ask God to relieve me of my prejudice. I still have fear of human beings in positions of power. I have fear of human beings who have more power than I do, for fear that they will abuse it. I know that my concept of a higher power is powerful, and I have to pray that God should relieve me of my fear of that power, and to be able to see even my higher power as an entity of altruism.
Time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Donna B. John K., you are up next, and then Reggie O. will follow you.
Good morning. This is John Kieran, recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. Thank you, Mel, and all team Thursday. You know, I was sharing this with a couple of people about a week ago, or maybe a little more. It was like an aha moment for me, and I know I shared it with Harlan and on the Treasures Facebook page. I don't remember if I shared it here. If I didn't, I'm being redundant. I'm sorry. But the aha after all these years. That's the thing I love about this book, by the way. They keep putting in new things as I read it over and over. The thing that hit me is really punctuated right here in this paragraph, and that is that I don't believe the most important admission of powerlessness was Bill Wilson's, and I don't think it was Dr. Bob's. I think the most important admission of powerlessness was Dr. Silkworth, because he admitted he was out of ideas. He hadn't, imagine what it's like to spend your life trying to accomplish something and then watch some novice sort of blow by you. And, you know, by the time this book was written, I'm sure there were many people Bill had worked with, and a decent amount of them had gotten some recovery. You know, it's never going to be 100%. It isn't now. But it's so hard. I mean, this is where I believe God played chess, and just in my belief about the beginnings of this program. There's so many. We haven't got time, if you know anything in the history, to take a guy from Switzerland, bring him to New York, a couple guys in New York, go to Vermont, come back down, meet another guy from Vermont who's in New York, and then goes out to Akron, et cetera, crazy. And to meet a doctor who had the ability and not have the hubris, as it was mentioned earlier, to realize there's something here, and that something isn't him, and it isn't medicine. And if you've ever worked with doctors, and I have friends who are nurses, they are wonderful people, but they are not the humblest lot in the world. And yet, it was set up that Bill met him, because if Bill had just admitted powerlessness, he might have gotten sober for the rest of his life. But the fact that he convinced this doctor, who helped bring other people in, and started to get gravitas by not only, you know, being attached to a major hospital in New York, but to also have a doctor who comes on and writes in this book. That, to me, is what was the real spark, you know, the spark of all these little components that started AA, was the fact that this guy who had a great idea met a doctor who was willing to hear it and was willing to admit powerlessness over this disease, despite a lifetime of working on it, of, you know, years getting a degree and trying to help people. And to me, I just want to say that to me is the most amazing thing of all, that Dr. Silkworth was able to admit powerlessness. And without that, I don't think we'd have a program. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, John Kay. Reggie O., you're next, and then Brucey will follow you.
Hey, thanks so much, Melanie, and everybody who shared on the line this morning. This is Reggie O. again. And, you know, I was sitting here. My little dog just woke me up. I didn't know if I was going to get back in time to share because she had to go out at precisely the time I gave my name. But I am back, and I am, have been sitting here this morning listening in the most amazing, feeling the most amazing gratitude. I mean, just this deep gratitude, you know, as this question was running through me, how did I get here, you know? And how did I get here in a place where I have this opportunity, you know, and I've been graced with this experience of hearing about and finding Program First, you know, and most recently, A Vision for You. And it is, and that altruistic movement, you know, that unselfish movement. I'm hearing it voice by voice on the line today. You know, I hear, you know, the voices of people that have been that person for me on the call, you know, who unselfishly gave of their time and themselves to help me in a moment, help me with a step, help me with, you know, through the steps, sharing their own experience, strength, and hope. And, you know, experience, strength, and hope is it. The altruistic movement comes from sharing the message. Well, first, you know, going back to the message, every movement does need a message. And the message we carry is that there is hope. You know, you can recover. You can recover through abstinence and through the 12 steps and 12 traditions, working through them. And, you know, going through the steps, we have an experience. We get to have an experience of that. And it is that experience that, in many respects, is the message. You know, we carry the message that we are. And you know, being in a recovered state, not waking up thinking of what I'm going to eat or what can I eat before I go to bed, or just being pulled by that, you know. And I don't know, you know, I don't have a lot of language for it this morning, but I just know that it is amazing, you know. And I love the, you know, what John Kay said earlier, you know, the powerlessness of Dr. Silkworth, because nothing I've ever done personally, no guru, no counselor, no therapist, no psychology, no nothing, touched my compulsive eating. And in the medical profession, no doctor, no training, no medical science, nothing touched this. But what we have here, which is this 12 steps, which leads us to a power greater than ourselves, in and the we of that power and all of us, you know, who are in this together and carry the message that is the most. It's just amazing and profound and in some respects so simple. And I'm deeply grateful for it and for all of you on the line this morning.
I'm taking that as a pass. Thanks, Reggie O. Bruce E., you're up.
All right. Thanks for passing to me. And this is Bruce E. in Southwest Florida, recovered from a hopeless state of mind and body, food addiction. And, well, I wanted to say, first of all, Melanie, you're doing a good job here. Don't give up your day job. Yeah, this is your day job. Don't give up your day job. We need you. So keep it up, everybody on the line, too. See this, talking about Dr. Silkworth in this situation here. Must have been a humble man to admit that he was limited. Many times our ego holds us back from thinking that we're limited, and he was limited, and he knew it. And he was willing to say, hey, look at these, see how limited we are here. Look at these tragedy, this human tragedy that's out there that we all see. And I have the wonderful opportunity of being able to work in the many of these people as a volunteer in and out of jail and prison, talking with them. And,
Bruce, there's just a little bit of wind going on there, and we might not be able to hear all
okay.
of what you're saying. Can you adjust
all right.
it all?
Good. I'll go ahead and pass. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Sorry about that. Okay, great. You can adjust if you would like. Sounds like he will pass instead. That leaves some time for one more person to comment on paragraph 3, page XXVIII. We're specifically unpacking that paragraph today.
Hello, my name is Beverly Mesher.
Donna W. I'm sure you can. Hi, Donna W. We're going to go with Beverly. She spoke first that I could hear. And you're on, Beverly. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Beverly R. from Gaithersburg, Maryland, Eastern Standard Time. And, well, so many things are coming into my mind. But I am a relative newcomer to Vision. I have been in OA for a very long time. And I'm a relative newcomer to Vision. And I was just saying, I just left a message with my sponsor saying, I am not used to this. I am not used to hearing about God so much. And I've been brought up in a Christian family. I've been surrounded by Christians all my life. But, oh, my goodness, it wasn't fashionable to talk about God so much. That's one thing that came up to me. And then another thing I wanted to say is, that I am beaten into the ground with desperation. Thank God I have the gift of desperation, and there's only one way where to go, and that's up. So I'm asking you to pray for me, and I will pray every day to God for the gift of abstinence. My name is Beverly R. from Gaithersburg.
Another time. Yeah, thank you so much, Beverly. Another time. Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. Thank you. That was Beverly R. from Gaithersburg, Maryland. And that probably really should wrap up our meeting today, although you may see that we have another minute left, I think, in reference to the idea that we have such little time for our newcomers. I'd like to close the meeting just that 1 minute earlier. Hopefully that's acceptable to all. So we will get started with the closing process here. thank you so much to everyone that shared here and that was a part of this Vision Thursday morning meeting. Grateful for your support and help and always having my back. I appreciate that very much. So we will close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164. We'll follow that with a Serenity Prayer. And then after that, we're going to invite newcomers and get some more information today. So you don't want to leave. You don't want to miss that. Stay to the top of the hour. Leslie W., would you please read page 164? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
I will, Melanie. This is Leslie W., recovered in Tennessee. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And you surely will meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.